Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
There's some footage that has been unearthed by the DC Examiner. This guy, this imam who hangs out with Tim Walz, and they try to say this guy has no relationship with him. I talked about this guy with Dr. Victoria Coast, and she was on the show last week. So this Hitler-promoting imam, his name is Imam Asad Zaman, a master teacher who offered Walz lessons over the time they spent together. Now, this footage that's been unearthed by the Washington Examiner, and great job by them, further contradicts the Harris campaign's claim that Walz has no personal relationship with this guy. So let's think about all the baggage that Tim Walz brings to the table, right? Arresting business owners during COVID, shutting down businesses, the police shooting paint guns at people, tampons in the boys' bathroom, 10-year-old boys get tampons, and pound around the Stolen Valor, and then pound around with this imam guy. Yeah, great pick, Democrats, great pick. Your vetting was outstanding here. Take a listen. Oh, sorry. Hang on.
I am a teacher, so...
Are you distracting him, Frank?
Teacher,
you are.
And over the time we've spent together, one of the things I've had the privilege of is seeing the things in life through the eye of a master teacher to try and get the understanding. I would like to...
All right, one more time, since we kind of did that a little bit off. We'll try it one more time. Go ahead.
I would like to, first of all, say thank you to Imam. I am a teacher, so when I see a master teacher, I know it. And over the time we've spent together, one of the things I've had the privilege of is seeing the things in life through the eye of a master teacher to try and get the understanding. I would like to-
This guy is a Jew hater who's praised Adolf Hitler and wants to see Israel wiped off the map. And Tim Walz is praising this guy as a master teacher. Walz is a problem for this campaign. He really is. But let's think about some of the points from the interview last night with Elon Musk and Donald Trump. First of all, I think it's really important that they talked about regulation, getting rid of regulations and freeing up the economy. And there was a point that Elon Musk made last night about how, you know, if we don't... our country's at a very pivotal point. I'm just kind of paraphrasing here, but... our country's at a very pivotal point here, and if we don't unleash prosperity, if we don't bring the government back away from this over-controlling regulatory state that we have, America is going to go down a path it's never going to be able to recover from. And, you know, I don't think Elon Musk is one of those guys who's always, like, the world is on fire and doom and gloom. I don't think that at all, in fact. I think he's a very reasonable guy, obviously. I mean, the guy's brilliant. But the points that he kept making last night about we're at this crossroads here, you know, and either we're going to go down the road of unleashing prosperity, or we're going to have more government, more crushing regulations. They talked about how government red tape winds up causing such massive delays in businesses and raising the expense of things. And that was a big theme of the X Spaces last night. And I loved all that. Just like I loved talking about getting rid of the Federal Department of Education, letting the states handle it. I think it's important. There's no reason why in the year 2024, 2025, by the time hopefully Trump gets in there, there's no reason why we cannot have states running their own departments of education. We don't need the federal government to do it. There's no reason for it. And it was a mistake to ever create a Federal Department of Education. All they do is just essentially now redistribute money. Trump ripped Tim Walz for tampons in boys' bathrooms. And this is what he said last night, cut 13.
Running mate approved, signed into legislation, tampons in boys' bathrooms, okay? Now, yeah, that's all that's I weird. Have to hear. Tampons in boys' weird. Bathrooms. And that means she believes in that, too. I mean... She picked this guy because he was the closest to her. A lot of people thought she'd pick sort of the opposite, but she picked an anti-Israel radical left person. But she is far worse, they say, than Bernie Sanders. If we have her as a president, if we have a Democrat at this moment as the president, I don't think our country can survive.
He also ripped Kamala Harris for stealing his no tax on tips and pointing out what I pointed out on the show yesterday, which is that these are also the very same people that hired 87,000 new IRS agents and accountants and all kinds of other people to go after people who live in the gig economy, the cash economy, people that make cash for a living, for example. And they lowered the threshold to $600 for the government to know about a deposit. It used to be $10,000. Now it's $600. So it opens up the IRS to be able to go after just about everybody. Of course, the lie was that they were going after billionaire tax cheats. That was never really true. Cut 12.
Get a speech and there will be no tax on tips. I said that months ago. And by the way, they had just the opposite. You know, they had not only tax on tips, but they hired 88,000 IRS agents, and many of them were assigned to go get waitresses and caddies and all of this on tips. They have a policy. They had a policy that they were really going to go after you and were really harassing people horribly. And then all of a sudden, for politics, she says, you know, she comes out with what I said, which I think is terrible. And I think it's also hitting them very hard. These people are fake.
He talked about our education system in this country. I really appreciated that, too. Again, I think that the Federal Department of Education is useless. Of course, if I were president, I'd shut down the Department of Education. I'd shut down the EPA. I'd merge some of these various agencies together. It'd be a whole different thing. But, you know, I'm not running for president anytime soon. That's for damn sure. Cut number 10.
Argentina used to be one of the most prosperous countries in the world. In the 30s, 40s, and because of bad government policy, it ruined the country. And if you take Venezuela, for example, Venezuela should be incredibly prosperous. They have, you know, phenomenal reserves of everything, oil, everything, and it should be prosperous. But if the government's wrong, it impoverishes the people. And so I think we should not be complacent in the United States and thinking that and taking our prosperity for granted, because if with bad government policy, we can run the country into the ground. And that's just something people should bear in mind. Don't take prosperity for granted.
Well, think of education. So we're ranked at the bottom of every list of the top 40. We're ranked number 40, number 38. Norway, Switzerland, Sweden, different countries are ranked good. Actually, China's pretty close to the top. They're a top six or seven. But we're ranked at the bottom, almost at the bottom, 38, 39, 40. In other words, horrible. And yet we spend more per pupil than any other country in the world. So we spend more. And what I'm going to do, one of the first acts, and this is where I need an Elon Musk. I need somebody that has a lot of strength and courage and smarts. I want to close up Department of Education, move education back to the states, where states like Iowa, where states like Idaho, you know, not every state will do great, because states that basically aren't doing good now. You look at Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. He's terrible. He does a terrible job. So he's not going to do great with education. But of the 50, I would bet that 35 would do great, and 15 of them, or, you know, 20 of them will be as good as Norway. You know, Norway is considered great. You can name them. I mean, they're so good. Some of these countries are so good. But if you go into some of these really well-run states, you know, we have states that don't know what debt is. We have states that have low taxes, no debt, everybody working. You know, they're really well run.
The other part, too, that I loved last night was the conversation regarding the weaponized justice system. And this is something I've been talking about with you for years. I am terrified of authoritarianism and tyranny. And it happens from within when the government, we wind up giving away our liberty in the name of keeping us safe, which is all BS, because they don't keep us safe. It's not, first of all, it's not the government's job to keep us safe, number one. I mean, sure, to keep the country safe from foreign enemies. Yes, that's the federal government's job. But other than that, the government does not exist to keep you safe. And I wish everybody could get that hand. Like when you're born, they should give you a card that you have to read to your kids. I wouldn't force you to do that, of course, but just start making it clear at a very young age, the government is not there to keep you safe. It's not the job of government at any level, by the way, at any level. Like, police play an incredibly important role in keeping communities safe, but their job is not to keep you safe. Their job is to keep a community safe, businesses safe, and homes safe, and residents safe in general, right? I mean, the United States Department of Justice does not exist to keep you safe. The FDA takes away liberty and tells you what to do and restricts things in the name of keeping you safe because we have become so complacent with the notion that that's the government's job, to keep me safe. So they got to keep me safe from trans fats, and they got to keep me safe from salt, and they got to keep me safe from alcohol, because soon they're going to come out with their report on alcohol and say, you should have no alcohol ever. You know, that it's not why we have a government. There's nothing in our founding documents about the government keeping us safe. Yes, the federal government has a role to play in keeping us safe from other countries attacking our country. No question about it. I think we all agree with that. And they have a job to play in securing our border. Absolutely. Because that's part of keeping the country safe. But you as an individual, that's on you to remain safe. It's why part of the reason why the Second Amendment is there, to ensure that you and your family can stay safe. Because you can't just assume the government's going to come and protect you and save the day. But we've lost that mindset in this country. And as we've slowly gone down this road of giving up our liberty in the name of safety and security, and finding out that we have no security and no liberty, we have created a weaponized justice system, because that's always what happens. The Zioli axiom that I've been saying for years is that when you give up your liberty to the government in exchange for keeping you safe, the government will take that power, weaponize it, and use it for political purposes. So I keep cautioning everybody who wants the government to keep their children safe online that the government will take that power and weaponize it and will use it to build a censorship machine that will shut down people that they don't like Elon Musk. Because they're all going after him today, if you've noticed. They wanted to shut him down in Europe. The Washington Post wanted to shut him down. CNN's fuming about this X interview. So again, under the guise of protecting the children, we'll wind up giving the government even more power in censorship and controlling misinformation, shutting down platforms they don't like, putting you in social media jail, and maybe jail, you know, for your posts if it's misinformation or hate speech. But we'll do it eventually in the name of keeping us safe. And this is the game. They always play this game. And here we are with this weaponized justice system that we have to rein back. Cut number nine.
Lawfare, I think, you know, we need to be concerned about
what they've done to this country.
Obviously.
Yeah. Well, we just won the big case in Florida. This was a Biden administration did something that's never been done in this country, and that's go after their political opponent, me, with this nonsense and just nonsense. And the big case in Florida we won, but they always pick a judge and a jury, and they use local DAs, they use the local attorney generals, like Fani, you know, Fani, spelled F-A-N-I, Fani. And it's all a big hoax. And it's all run from there, like in Manhattan. One of the top people from the Justice Department went in, ran Manhattan, ran the state. The Letitia James deal was run by a person from the Department of Justice, Biden. They've never done this before. Sure. And they set up a very bad precedent. It's called lawfare, warfare. It's a terrible thing, and never happened in our country. It does happen in banana republics and third world countries, but it's never happened. And the incredible thing is it actually drove my numbers up, because people see, you know, fortunately, I have a platform like you, or, you know, in all fairness, like a conversation like this where I can talk about it and people understand. I mean, you fight for election integrity and you end up getting indicted because you're fighting for election integrity. And when the day comes that you can't fight for election integrity, you don't have a country anymore. So what happens is they went after their political opponent, me. Now, Biden's, close to vegetable stage, in my opinion.
Yeah, he is. By the way, I want to thank, I just got a great tweet here from Captain Obvious. Our friends at FIRE, which is in Philadelphia, it's the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. They just put out a Twitter thread on Woodrow Wilson, the worst president ever. for so many reasons. But they did this particularly on how he is America's, in all caps, worst ever president on free speech, weaponizing, using the protecting you safe thing during World War One to silence critics, arrest suffragists, weaponize the Postal Service, and on it goes. Absolutely one of the worst. We'll get them on to talk about that. But I mean, that's a great example, right? Woodrow Wilson, who is the progressive guy who there's an unbroken line of progressivism that goes from the Confederate States of America to Wilson to FDR to Johnson to Obama to this vegetable in the White House. But Wilson loved going after the press, loved going after the media, critics of the war, anybody. And he would do it. They would arrest people who were critics of the war. Because it was detrimental to national security. So you see, the left has been playing this game for a very, very long time of going after speech they don't like. And they have been weaponizing the justice system in this country as long as they've had the ability to do so. And I think that was a very important exchange last night between Trump and Elon Musk. Also want to share this with you as well. They talked about nuclear energy last night. So I'm going to play the full exchange. It's a little bit long, and then I'm going to play for you how CNN took that out of context. But it's really, it's very crucial to understand this conversation. Nuclear energy is, in my opinion, something this country should be pursuing at warp speed, really should. And they talked about nuclear last night. Trump was talking about the dangers of nuclear war, and he mentioned that. And he mentions nuclear war and how we are at the precipice of that, and we got to be very careful of that. Because we have a lot of this. So, first of all, let me start with this. And we'll start with Cut 14, Trump talking about a modern-day axis of evil, and go there, Cut 14.
You know, I always say that we have enemies on the outside and we have enemies on the inside. We have some really bad people in our government and people that are, and controlling of the people. I mean, I'd mention names, but I really don't want to give them the credit. But we have some really bad, and I say they're more dangerous than Russia and China. If you have a smart president, a president that gets it, we are not in danger from those countries because they need us and they need our help. I mean, we forced Obama, if you think about it, Obama and Biden, and Bush to a certain extent, in all fairness, forced Russia and China together. And if you're a history student, the first thing you learn is you cannot let Russia and China align. But then they also got, if you take a look, Iran, and they have North Korea. That's, you know, they call it the axis of evil. In the old days, you had the axis of evil. Here we have a modern day axis of evil. These are powerful countries, very heavy nuclear, which is the biggest threat. Yeah. You know, the biggest threat is not global warming, where the ocean's going to rise one-eighth of an inch over the next 400 years. And you'll have more oceanfront property, right? The biggest threat is not that. The biggest threat is nuclear warming, because we have five countries now that have significant nuclear power, and we have to not allow anything to happen with stupid people like Biden.
Like stupid people like Biden. I mean, that's exactly right. So here's the exchange about nuclear energy, nuclear power, and all of it. And take a listen.
Yeah, and actually, there's the bad side of nuclear, which is a nuclear war, very bad side. But there's also, I think, nuclear electricity
Absolutely.
Generation is underrated.
You're right.
And it's actually, you know, people have this fear of nuclear nuclear electricity generation, but it's actually one of the safest forms of electricity generation. It's just a huge misunderstanding. If you look at the injuries and deaths, you know, caused by, say, I mean, I'm not going to try to pick on coal mining, but just any kind of mining operation, there's a certain number of injuries and deaths per year. And you compare that to nuclear. Nuclear is actually way better. So it's underrated as an electricity source, and I think it's something that's worth reconsidering. But there's so much regulation that people can't get it done.
Maybe they'll have to change the name. The name is it's a rough name. There are some areas like when you see what happened in
bad branding.
Right,
we'll
have to rebrand it. We'll have to give it a good name. We'll name it after you or something. You know, it has a branding problem. You know, when you see what happened,
it does have a branding problem.
When you see what happened in Japan where they say you won't be able to go in the land for about 3,000 years. Did you ever see that? And in Russia, where they had the problem, where they, you know, there's a lot of bad things happened, and they have a problem. And they say that in 2,000 years, people will start to occupy the land again. You know, you realize it's pretty bad.
No,
but,
that's not true.
But there's, it's
actually not that bad. So like, after Fukushima happened in Japan, like, people were asking me in California, you know, are we worried about, like, a nuclear cloud coming from Japan? I'm like, no, that's crazy. It's not even dangerous in Fukushima. I actually flew there and ate locally grown vegetables on TV to prove it. And I donated a solar water treatment, a solar powered system for a water treatment plant. And
yeah, but you haven't been feeling so well lately, and I'm worried about it.
No, but I mean,
I'm only kidding.
It's fine, you know. It's like, you know, Hiroshima and Nagasaki were bombed, but now they're like full cities again. So it's really not something that, you know.
That's right.
So it's not as scary as people think, basically. Yeah. But,
all right, now I want you to hear how CNN took that exchange and then twisted it. Make it sound like they think, like, nuclear war is no big thing. No big whoop. Don't worry about it. Take a listen.
I want to play one exchange that was kind of classic. Well, there were a lot of exchanges that were classic Donald Trump, but this one really stuck out to us.
In Nagasaki were bombed, but now they're like full cities again. So it's really not something that, you know.
So it's not
as scary as people think, basically.
So that was more Elon Musk than Donald Trump talking about, sort of suggesting that what happened almost 80 years ago, I think 80 years ago next year, the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, now it's okay. Kind of trying to blow off the impact.
Okay, so that's it. Like, just blowing off the impact. You see how CNN twists it? You see how the media twists these things? They had a thoughtful conversation about nuclear energy and how even if there is a nuclear disaster, how, yes, the Earth people can still survive. The point being that nuclear energy, and again, it was a longer conversation, but CNN took a snippet of that. I mean, literally a snippet of that to then turn around and push out this, you know, notion of it was no big thing, no big whoop. So this is what I mean in terms of we have a real problem with the media trying to deceptively edit things. And they're angry. They're angry about this exchange. CNN was fuming about the conversation between Elon Musk and Donald Trump. 2 hours they spent. And here's just a little bit of CNN fuming after this conversation on X last night. Cut 17.
Began with 40 minutes of silence and then a bro-pocalypse of politics. No matter how you frame it or what caused the glitch, what was finally said between Donald Trump and Elon Musk at last night's Big X event can largely be defined as a rant filled with familiar lies and lines of attack.
Kamala wouldn't have this conversation. She can't because she's not smart.
No.
You know, she's not a smart person. She is a radical left San Francisco liberal, and now she's trying to protect. Now she's looking like she wants to be more Trump than Trump, if that's possible. I don't think it's possible, but she wants to be more Trump than Trump. She's terrible, but she's getting a free ride.
All right, but did it do what it was designed to do, which was to put the brakes on Harris's momentum?
What momentum? Where's the momentum? Stop. And why doesn't she sit down and do a 2-hour interview? I mean, that'd be amazing. I was joking last night at X. I said she should try to do a Twitter Spaces because there was delayed for 40 minutes because so many people were getting on and there were technical glitches and and so people had to wait for a while. And I made a joke about how she should do a Twitter Spaces because there's no way dozens of people could crash the site. The momentum is not real. It's a fugazi. The momentum is not real. Don't believe this. I'm telling you right now, if it was real, then the clip that I played you earlier of CNN talking to all these women in the suburbs of Philadelphia who hate Trump, they're literally never Trumpers, but they don't know if they can vote for Kamala Harris because of her policies. So they're not with her, and there's no momentum for Kamala Harris. There just isn't. And it is a manufactured idea. And yes, Elon Musk offered to Kamala Harris, would you like to do a Twitter Spaces? She has not accepted. I don't think she will. There's no way she'd sit down for a two. She won't sit down for a 2-second interview. Here's CNN asking the Harris-Waltz campaign spokesperson, Adrian Elrod, why Harris can't do an interview today? She has no campaign event. She has nothing to do. Why not do an interview? How about having a conversation here? Get some of this out there. Cut 19.
What's on the vice president's schedule today?
Well, she's traveling and talking to voters and getting her message out there to the American people, something that she's been doing from the very start of this campaign and something that she certainly did when she was President Biden's running mate as vice president. But look, you just mentioned the speech she's going to be giving.
I was asking about today, and I don't think she's got any campaign events on the schedule today, does she?
Well, she and Governor Walz have been traveling across the country. They hit nearly every battleground state last week. On the campaign trail, they raised $36 million within the first 24 hours of Governor Walz joining the ticket. And what she's going to be doing Friday is taking her economic message directly to the voters in North Carolina. I certainly don't want to get in front of exactly what she's going to say, but she's going to talk a little bit about how she's going to make sure that she's putting consumers first as part of her economic plan. She's going to take on corporate price gougers. She's going to take on junk fees. And that's something that, you know, John, she did when she was Attorney General of California. Something she continued to do as the United States Senator of California. So
All right. She's
going to be taking that message out to voters, and I look forward to seeing more of what she's going to say on Friday.
I think we all do, and I'll ask you more about that in just a second. The reason I was asking about today is because it seems like she has time, if she wanted, to do an interview with a member of the media or do a news conference, correct? There does appear to be that time if she wanted.
Well, look, she has said on the campaign trail that she would be doing an interview at some point. She said that, I think, last week during a rope line or when she was talking to reporters. But look, what is important here, John, is that she is taking her message directly to the American people. She hit a number of battleground states. I think we had 15,000 people in Detroit last week, 12,000 to 13,000 in Nevada. She's been taking her message to the voters and drawing large crowds. So she's actually having those direct conversations.
But not today. Not today. She could do an interview today, I would think, you know, because she's not out there today.
Well, look, she's taking her message directly to voters, and just because she doesn't have an interview schedule on her public schedule doesn't mean that she's not taking her message directly to voters.
Yeah, so you see that? She's taking it directly to voters. Where? When? Friday. We got to wait till Friday. We have to wait till Friday to hear Kamala Harris's plan. She's been the vice president of the United States of America, so she did answer a very quick question from the press. Sort of. Now, you got to remember something. Overall costs are up 20.1% under the Biden-Harris administration. So unless you've gotten a raise of anywhere from, I don't know, 15 to 20% the last couple of years, you are making less money now than you were when Joe Biden became president and Kamala Harris became vice president. So she's going to have a plan very, very soon on what they can do to bring down costs. That plan's coming very soon. Cut 30.
When do you expect to roll out your policy platform?
Next week. And it'll be focused on the economy and what we need to do to bring down costs and also strengthen the economy overall.
But that's what we've heard. That's the extent of it. That's wow. I mean, I tell you, I can't wait with bated breath. I got a feeling I know what it is, though. Ready? Corporations are mean and evil and they're all colluding to keep prices high. And they're going to go after big grocery stores, just like man-child Justin Trudeau, Little Fidel did in Canada. They're price gouging you. They're all in on it. Big supermarket, big grocery, big snack, big soda. They're the bad guys, and they're going to go after them. That's basically what I think you're going to wind up hearing from Kamala Harris, because that's been what Joe Biden's been saying. It's been what Joe Biden's been saying over and over again. So why would you hear anything different from that? All right. But if you want to know who the Harris supporters are, I just wanted to share this with you. And this is when you have to say to yourself, giant meteor, please kill me. Please kill me now. Harris supporters at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas rally explain why they are supporting Vice President Kamala Harris for president. Yeah, Cut 27.
Why are y'all voting for Kamala Harris?
I don't want to lose my rights. Like, I'm a trans man and I'm gay and I have been pregnant and I've had an abortion before and I don't want to lose that. I'm afraid of not being able to be myself anymore because from what I've heard, Trump's America doesn't want me to look like this. So that's why I'm here today and that's why I'm voting blue.
What about you?
I've also been pregnant and had an abortion before. I was a minor and it would have been dangerous for me to properly, like, it would have been dangerous for me to carry a baby with, like, personal reasons and everything. I also, like, I'm very, you know,
alternative,
and I feel like if Trump were to win, I wouldn't be able to, like, express myself through my looks and everything, and wouldn't be able to have the piercings or the dyed hair or the tattoos that I want. You know, I would be able to be myself, and my dad's very pro-Trump, and I'm just very
pro-Kamala.
Pro-Kamala, yeah. I don't, you know, it's just...
Does that cause a divide at all?
Yeah, it definitely does. He thinks that Kamala's going to ruin the country, but I think that Trump would do worse, like, a lot. Like, Kamala is going to be good for the country.
I'm a gay man and I've had an abortion. All right? That's all you need to know right there. Then that says enough right there. I'm going to take a quick break because I need to go get a glass of water. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. If you're a gay man who's had an abortion, please feel free to call the show. Let us know. Share your story with us, will you? Listen, relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. You hear me say that a lot. It's a guiding principle on how Judith and her team run their business. They build great relationships by providing a luxury Volvo buying experience, always doing what is right, and making sure you drive away completely satisfied with the best deal available. And the result is that so many of their customers, like me, become customers for life. Cherry Hill Volvo has customers who have been with them for as long as 30 years. That's an incredible testament to the high level of service and value they provide. It is possible to get the absolute best deal on a new Volvo while enjoying fantastic experience at Cherry Hill Volvo. They're offering a $15,000 discount on the lease of any in-stock 2024 XC90 hybrid, where qualified buyers can lease the incredible C40 for 36 months for less than $500 a month. Cherry Hill Volvo is the most accessible Volvo dealer to Philly and South Jersey, right across the bridge. Judith, Yosef, and the entire team look forward to meeting you, giving you that luxury Volvo experience that you so deserve. And you know, the XC90 is our family car. It's what we drive. And we love the fact that we drive it. We love the fact that it gets us where we want to be safely, because it's the safest 7-passenger SUV out there. And we look good doing it, too. Forget the minivan. This is the family car for you. But they also have a number of pre-owned Volvos in stock as well. That's your way to get a beautiful Volvo that's like new, but at a much lower price. But either way, whether you choose to lease or you choose a pre-owned, or you want to go with $15,000 discount on the lease of any in-stock 2024 XC90 Volvo Hybrid, you're going to get an amazing experience at Cherry Hill Volvo. You know, we broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios. We love the fact that they support us every step of the way. So forget all the other Volvo dealers out there. My friends at Cherry Hill Volvo will take great care of you, because at Cherry Hill Volvo, relationships matter.
The Zeoli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
We are looking at Tim Walz as a absolute freaking disaster. So did I send you this clip that's been going around the internet where Tim Walz says he served in Afghanistan? Did I send you that, Matt? I'm not sure if I did or not yet.
Yeah, I think I do have that one. Let me
see. There's a couple of them. Well, you know what? As you look for that, yeah, it's the one that says it gets worse for Walz. Unearthed footage from 2004 shows then Representative Tim Walz telling a Gold Star family that he deployed to Afghanistan and that he and his troops under his command struggle with PTSD. Now, I don't know if he actually says Afghanistan in this or not. I have not listened to the clip yet, so I don't know if he says that, but he's certainly alluding to the fact that he and his team face combat. Right? I mean, that's essentially now what Walz is alluding to. Whether he says it actually says the word Afghanistan or not, he's alluding to the fact that they saw combat and had PTSD and everything else. Take a listen.
Both of you, with your keen understanding of how this works, especially from National Guard families, I can tell you this, having been one of those that came back, we were in support of OEF, but being sitting in there with OEF, OIF veterans, when we came back, they showed us the horse whisperer and told us to be nice when we went home. And that was the extent of it. That was in 2004. Now, I'm proud to say that because of the people sitting in here and people who came before me, things have changed over the last 4 years. They have not changed enough. But Mr. Kennedy is following and moving something forward that the late senator from Minnesota, Senator Wellstone, advocated so clearly, mental health parity, and this issue of destigmatizing mental health, of understanding. And I being in there and knowing as a first sergeant, know exactly what you're saying, and watching as people aren't trained on this, that there is there's a discrimination that goes against a soldier who has the courage, the fortitude, and as you said, the insight to admit this. So there's a couple things I want to ask you.
So he's definitely implying that they were doing this together. So that's what I think is the problem with this guy, is that he's made everybody believe he's been in combat. On multiple occasions, he's done this. This is not the first time he's done this. And it's a long pattern of this going for, you know, 20 something years. But even beyond that, it's his authoritarianism that really scares me. And at the same time, during the summer of love with COVID, he allowed the rioters, the looters, the protesters to even burn down the third precinct of the Minneapolis Police Department. So this is a flashback. Minneapolis Police Sergeant Anna Hedberg, who says, I heard the governor say, give it up, give up the precinct. This is when they burned it to the ground, letting the rioters burn it down. Cut 23.
Police officers testified at the Minnesota Senate today. The officers are all board members for the Minneapolis Police Federation. And as Esme Murphy reports, they offered up a scathing critique of government and police leaders during the riots following George Floyd's death.
That's not what we stand for.
Her voice shaking, Minneapolis Police Sergeant Anna Hedberg says during the riots, officers were abandoned by state, city, and department leaders.
To watch them go through that was so heartbreaking. To know that they could have died because we were not allowed to respond the way that we have been trained to respond.
During the riots, the officers were told they could not wear protective frog suits, but were still hit and injured with bottles, cement, and more. Sergeant Hedberg blamed state, city, and department leaders for the abandonment of the third precinct.
I heard the governor say, give it up. It wasn't directly to me, it was through a phone call. Now the governor says, give up the precinct. I mean, that's demoralizing for this whole state.
And the three described a demoralized police force with dozens of officers planning to retire or quit.
I believe I speak for every Minneapolis cop when I tell you that I've never been more publicly humiliated.
They also described a city out of control.
The crime is rampant in Minneapolis right now.
Yes. Crime is rampant in Minneapolis right now. So we have the woman who was arrested. We heard the audio of her talking about how she was arrested, sent to jail for 90 days for violating his lockdown orders. The woman who left the state had to open up a bar in neighboring Wisconsin because she wasn't allowed to be in business anymore. Here's a guy who had his livelihood destroyed, spoke to Fox News via a translator, lost his livelihood in 2020. As a man, I couldn't do anything but cry. And this is the kind of guy Tim Walz is. I, my fear of authoritarianism and guys like this, guys like His Royal Ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, Newsom. I mean, these people who, when the opportunity comes up for them to be a tyrant and they seize it and they take it, it tells you everything. There's a saying in life that I love. When people show you who they are, pay attention. When people show you who they are, pay attention. And people say a lot of different things in life, you know, and a lot of times what people say is pure and utter BS. And I've got a great Zioli Fugazi meter for BS, as you know. It's one of the reasons why I am so good at what I do. I can sense BS a mile away. And I've long said I think it's a product of two things. One is being the son of a cop who taught me early on, I got to be street smart. You got to be street smart. It's more important than being book smart. You know, like DeSantis is very book smart. He's Harvard educated, but he has no friggin' street smarts whatsoever. The guy is none. None. I mean,
it's valid.
You know, that's, and you would, I mean, you agree with that. That's not an insult.
That's an accurate assessment.
We don't need Connie writing one of her snarky emails about how mean I am to DeSantis. I mean, he's the first one to admit it. He's book smart, but, you know. But two, as a product of growing up in this area, this part of the country, I don't know. I think we're very good at sensing BS. There's a little bit of a cynicism to it. But when people show you who they are by their actions, by their deeds, pay attention. Listen. Actions speak louder than words. That saying is a cliche, I know, but sometimes cliches are cliches for a reason. When people show you who they are, pay attention to that. So here you have a guy like Waltz who had the opportunity during COVID to show everybody who he was. And he showed everybody his tyrannical impulses. And it wasn't even like this is March of 2020. I mean, this went on from March of 2020 until the middle of 2021, when his state was under these authoritarian lockdowns. And guys like that scare the hell out of me. Guys who say that the First Amendment doesn't protect misinformation, the First Amendment doesn't protect hate speech. That's tyranny. That's authoritarianism. When people show you who they are by their actions, pay very close attention. So here's what this small business owner went through, cut 24.
So back in 2020, when the writers first came here, they went and destroyed the strip mall on the left-hand side here. I was in my shop. I witnessed everything. I videotaped everything that I saw. My friend and I stayed in our shop until nightfall, and I was going to sleep and watch over my shop, but my friend said, it's too dangerous, let's go home, and so we ended up going home at night.
When you went home, how were you feeling? Were you afraid? I mean, were you worried about
your
shop?
Let me just stop it real quick. I'm sorry. This is different. This is the violent rioters that destroyed his business, different from COVID. This COVID was the other person. This guy had his life destroyed by the violence that plagued Minnesota under Tim Walz. Okay, keep going.
I was afraid, but I was hoping that they would just destroy that side and not this side. And so when I went home, I did feel a little scared and a little nervous that they might come to this side. But I had a little hope that they wouldn't. The next day when I came here to find that my shop was destroyed, and as a man, I couldn't do anything but cry.
And then tell me a little bit about how much damage was done.
So I have a lot of metal bars around the windows and also my front door, but they took down the front door with the metal bars. They had some pliers or whatever they used to destroy the metal bars, and they came in there and took everything, took all the clothing, all the merchandise, and my store.
How much damage in terms of, you know, dollar amount?
So I had about $1,000 worth of cash on hand in the register and also in my safe box. But the thing was that they took all the clothing, all the merchandise, which was over $200,000, and I could only claim about $60,000 from insurance. So during that time, I know that there was a lot of destruction around the city. I tried to call the police. There was no response. I tried to file online. There was no response from the police.
Tim Walz could potentially be the vice president of the United States. You know, your experience with the way he handled the situation, how do you feel about that? Do you think that people, you know, should know about what happened here, and you have concerns about him being vice president?
If he gets to become the vice president, he needs to learn how to love the people here, and especially in Minnesota, because of the destruction that happened during his watch.
So again, that was through a translator, but I mean, that part of it, you know, as a man, I couldn't do anything but cry. If he gets to become the vice president, he needs to learn to love the people here because of the destruction that happened during his watch. And there's so much of this that's coming out about this guy. He's a tyrant. I mean, and she's a tyrant too. You know, she's a tyrant as well. The two of them, they're tyrants. They're peas in a pod. Here's Kamala Harris promoting population control. And this is another big thing the left loves. This idea that there's too many of us, there's too many people. And too many people means it's too bad for the environment. And Mother Earth, birthing person Earth, excuse me, birthing person Earth can't handle the load. Now, population myth, it's a myth. It's one of those things. There's a great book about this called Population Bomb. It's a fugazi that there's too many people for the world. But it's one of the things that the left pushes all the time. And they push this in Marxist and socialist countries because there's not enough free things to give away. So as part of that, yes, those countries employ very draconian population controls. So when people start talking about population control, and even going a step further, which is reducing the population, be very afraid by this, okay? Because this is scary stuff here. Cut 22.
When we invest in clean energy and electric vehicles and reduce population, more of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water.
We reduce the population. This is, tyrants love this notion. They love the notion of that. Reducing population. How the hell do you reduce population out of curiosity? What do you do? How do you do that? I mean, there's lots of different ways you can. We don't get any real specifics on that, but I'd like to know how do you, what's your big plan to reduce the population? Just out of curiosity. Scary, man. It's scary to think about that. But her entire candidacy has been really about the same recycled script over and over and over again. I know this hour has been very heavy with audio between the Trump stuff and this stuff, but sometimes that's how the show has to go. And because I have to expose all this stuff for you, it's important, you can't rely on the corporate media to do this. Kamala's entire candidacy has consisted of reading the same recycled script over and over again. So her speeches in Wisconsin and Michigan sound essentially just completely identical. Cut 29.
It really is good to be back in Wisconsin.
It is so good to be back in Michigan.
Listen, let me tell you, I am clear. The path to the White House runs right through this state. And listen, I am clear. The path to the White House runs right through this state. I took on perpetrators of all kinds. I took on perpetrators of all kinds and had a summer job at McDonald's. I had a summer job at McDonald's. So hear me when I say, so hear me, Detroit, when I say, I know Donald Trump's type. I know Donald Trump's type. And are we ready to fight for it? And are we ready to fight for it?
Got it? Creepy stuff. It's exactly the same over and over and over again. But this is, I mean, why she's walking back all her policies now, and she is. All right, listen, we got a big fourth and final hour coming up for you. Our buddy EJ Dionne is going to stop by. EJ Antoni's going to stop by, excuse me, our great economist friend. 40 days up to 40 pounds. Say it with me. 40 days up to 40 pounds. Shed that summer vacation weight by reaching out to NJ Diet. You will lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days and without any shots. NJ Diet's all natural. They use your hair, saliva, and blood work along with bioenergetic scans to get you to personalize natural solutions and supplements. Get your body into the fat burning zone. Now that means you're going to lose the weight and you're going to keep the weight off. NJ Diet uses DNA info to help you keep the weight off for good. And best of all, it's contractually guaranteed. You are fully supervised the entire time to make sure you are burning fat and not just losing water. You even get the doctor's personal email and phone number. Locations in Newark, Delaware, King of Prussia, and Cherry Hill, or available worldwide with live online video consultations. Call 855-5-NJ-DIET, 855-5-NJ-DIET, or schedule your consultation today by going to njdiet.com. You can do this, and NJ Diet can help you every step of the way, guaranteed. So get going, njdiet.com.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.